Hello, welcome to Simply Syndicated Gaming News. We're back with quite a quiet week, actually, isn't it? But, hey, you know. Actually, we say that. I lost my shit when I saw this Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer.
Yep.
It was definitely clean pants time.
It's interesting. It's very interesting. Beautiful. Absolutely gorgeous. You know, it looks stunning.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything from the models to the lighting to the animation is on point.
I can't be annoyed that I don't have a PS4 Pro.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. They didn't say what this was running on. Usually, you know, an awful lot of the time they will put out, you know, a little thing running on such and such hardware.
Yeah, I get the feeling now they're just assume that it's running on a PS4 Pro or an Xbox One, whatever the fuck it is. I've already forgotten. 720. Okay.
Yeah, probably. And of course, I'm sure that us PC peasants will get the short end of it. We'll probably end up having to wait an extra fucking year to get a port.
Yeah, they've not said anything about the PC version yet, have they?
No, they have not.
I would just get the PS4 version. It'll be fine. It won't exactly be like rubbing dirt in your eyes.
Well, you know, you say that, but I enjoy that feeling.
Fair enough. But, you know, I get the feeling this is one I would actually end up buying multiple times on various platforms if they did that. Because I've played Red Dead Redemption through, I think, 4 or 5 times.
Yeah, it is so fucking good.
Because I can just keep going back and doing the whole game again. There are very few games I can do that with these days, but that's one of them. And if this is at least as good, and given who's making it and the subject matter, I have reason to believe it will be at least as good, then I'm going to play this one through 5 or 6 times, whatever.
Well, what kind of... I'm a little conflicted. I'm a little conflicted because I was worried. We've talked previously about how pissed off we are that GTA 5, they abandoned the single-player DLC in favor of just piling money into GTA Online.
Yeah.
And I was worried about that, but then the more I realized, they can't really do that with Red Dead because it's... You know, the old West, your vehicle is a horse. They can't just keep releasing, you know, I'm not a horse guy. There are horse people out there. But I assume that there are a fairly limited number of horses in terms of variety.
I think there's certainly more cars than horses.
I would say there are more cars, bikes, planes, and boats.
Yeah.
And there are horses.
And I, too, am not a horse person.
You are not a horse person,
no.
Emma?
Pretty indifferent about horses. Okay. I do know how to ride one. I was taught, but I'm fairly indifferent and also slightly afraid of them because they're very twitchy.
Yeah. Yeah, I had one. I don't know how the fuck this came about. I live in a fucking estate, but somehow I have a vague memory of having a horseback lesson when I was like 7. And the only memory I have of it is they didn't secure the saddle properly. So when
That's
it came
problem.
Time to trot, I ended up not completely upside down, but most of the way.
That's not good. It's not supposed to go like that at all.
No, especially as where you end up near in that situation,
yes,
which leads
precisely.
Nicely into the, into the article.
Because in true Rockstar fashion, it does seem that they are nicely animating the horse bollocks.
Well, that's good to know. These things have to be done. I mean,
absolutely.
Horses have bollocks. They move and stuff. So, okay. You know, that's fine. This in the same month we find out Mario has nipples. You know, it's...
There we go.
These things are there. We have to just deal with them. It's all right. Move
sometimes
on.
Sometimes the envelope needs to be pushed.
Absolutely.
And Rockstar are the people to do it.
And the envelope is filled with bollocks.
Horse bollocks, so it's a big envelope.
It is. Yeah. It's quite a large one.
Yeah. I will be, I look forward to comparing this not only to the original Red Dead Redemption horses, but also the Metal Gear Solid 5 horses. There was one horse in Metal Gear Solid 5. And he was pretty good. He could shit on command.
Really?
Yeah, I was going to say there was a button to make it poop, wasn't there?
Yeah, there was a command.
So this is the DLC then, isn't it? This is the DLC they'll send you, if they'll try and sell you. If you don't want to watch a big pair of huge swinging horse bollocks, you can get Girl Horse DLC. So it's just no bollocks.
There it is. Customise your horse.
Yeah, Girl Horse DLC.
It's a AAA game, so it has to have a season pass with DLC. Mm-hmm. It has to have some sort of in-game currency system. Maybe some sort of posable figures and or loot crates and or collector's edition, special editions, limited edition, steelbook edition, and any other kind of box you can put the game in.
Mm-hmm.
But then this is Rockstar, who aren't generally arseholes like that.
The GTA special editions have been quite good. I got the version with 4, which had a safe deposit box, which was kind of cool.
Yeah.
It was a nice little GTA 4 safe deposit box. I still have it. I actually keep all of the shitty little art books that come with other special editions inside it. And the little, you know, back when they did CDs of the soundtrack rather than giving you a download code. So that's what I've been keeping in my little safe deposit box. And then I got the GTA 5 one as well, which had a money bag, a safe deposit bag.
Yeah, like a cloth bag. Yeah, I know like what you're talking about, yeah.
You know, sort of, yeah, heavy cloth bag and a cap, which is a nice quality cap.
Hmm.
I find most caps are too small for my head. I have a large head.
I'll take your word for that one.
Dead large. I've never found a hat in a shop that fit me. I've always had to order online.
Oh.
Yeah.
Very odd. Yeah.
It's a hellish existence.
It must be. I do quite enjoy hats.
I would also enjoy a hat, but unfortunately, you know, still, you know, you take the good with the bad.
You do, and at least now we have games with animated horse bollocks. So yes. It's,
so I'm wondering what they could do for a special edition, because, you know.
They'll find something.
Something.
They'll sell it to you in a big nutsack. that's that'll be the next thing. You were saying about they gave you a big, heavy, like a strong, safe cloth bag. Yeah. Just, you know, stick a few hairs out of it and there you go, call it, you know, the bollocks edition.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Honestly, if they wanted to, if you know, if they were awesome, they'd do a special version that came with a cowboy hat.
Do we know if they're doing anything at all, actually? Because I pre-ordered this game as well.
They must do, surely.
I'll have a look. Because I don't remember any option. I really did pre-order it because I saw that. Yeah.
Because it got pushed back to next year sometime.
Yeah,
it's like Q1 2018 now, isn't it?
I think it's further than that.
Is it?
I think it's considerably
like June further, or something?
I think.
That's fine. I just want it on launch day.
Whenever. When it's done. That's when we want it.
Yeah, there's just 2 versions.
Mm.
That's it. And the price at $49.99, it kind of feels like that's not even really the price yet. Or it could be.
It'll probably go up to 50. It'll probably be a $54.99 plus, like you say, like the season pass.
Do you know that I have never seen a $54.99 game for sale?
Yeah.
I'm just looking now at Amazon. So let's see. PlayStation 4, $49.99 for FIFA 18. Everything's $49.99. It's only on the online stores that I see $54.99.
Okay. Yeah. I think
RRP is a mythical beast. Never witnessed in the wild.
Yeah, everything. Assassin's Creed Origins, $49.99. South Park, $44.99.
I'm looking forward to that.
Gran Turismo Sport, £46. Oh, I should get... Oh, it's that out on the 18th? I like Gran Turismo games now. I didn't them.
Are you a driving game person?
I can be, you know. I really can be. And I've recently come into quite a few of them and have been enjoying them a lot.
Hmm.
I must admit, I got Burnout, the first one, and Need for Speed Underground for the GameCube, which were both my first of those franchises. Although Burnout, I think that only went for another couple. But Need for Speed.
Yeah, well, Burnout Paradise is, to my mind, the last great racing game.
Right. I did enjoy having the spectacular crashes in that game. Where
that's really fun.
You'd just be killed immediately in that crash. it would be horrendous. You'd be on the news if you had that crash. But, yeah. You know, it goes like, Need for Speed Underground, I've actually been enjoying. It's not too serious, I suppose. It's like, if Fast and Furious was a game, there it is. So
there is a Fast and Furious version of, I think, is it Forza? Because it came out for, it was free on the Xbox.
I think they kept trying to do licensed games and they were typically shit. So they decided it would be better to do a licensed tie-in with an actual good game. So I think the last Fast and Furious, or whatever they're calling them nowadays, Furious 8 or whatever, got tie-in vehicles.
You're right. Okay.
Yeah, because it was free on the Xbox store. Mm-hmm. So I did play it, actually. I played it to completion, that version, and that was the last racing game I played. It was pretty much the most generic racing game ever played, with occasional ludicrous voiceover bits. Because Forza 7 has just come out, hasn't it?
Oh, yeah, people are quite upset with it.
Really?
Oh, really?
They've AAA'd it. So it has loot crates and customize your driver helmet for a billion points per whatever and that kind of thing.
Right. Interesting.
There's plenty of anger about it on YouTube. You don't have to search hard to find it. It might well
anger
be on
YouTube?
Yeah, believe it or not. Some people actually have been using YouTube, of all things, to voice their anger, whether founded in reality or not.
As long as they're keeping their language clean.
I think they are. I think there's definitely been an effort to do that amongst people. Oh, dear. Because it's a cesspool.
It's funny because life is awful.
So 54.99 games. It's only the. That's why I don't get more about the people that buy digital stuff. It's like, you do know it's way more expensive, don't you? And you don't get a thing that's yours. So,
well, yeah, particularly, well, you know, this is the thing. Steam got it right, where they realized, we don't have to ship all this stuff. We're selling games. So, you know, PC games on Steam tend to be like cheaper than the store version, because obviously, meanwhile, Microsoft and Xbox, you know, Microsoft and Sony rather, their stores charge things for the same, if not more, as the retail version in the store.
Yeah. Oh, and Nintendo. They don't get away with this either.
And Nintendo. And whenever, I'm sure that this is the primary reason that other things like Origin and Uplay started up, was so that they could sell their games, you know, at more than store price digitally.
Wouldn't surprise me.
You know, by taking it out of the Steam ecosystem, you have to buy it from them, so you have to pay what they want you to pay.
That's what they do. But the story I hear from the consoles is that they want to keep parity between the digital price and the recommended retail price, and that, of course, as we know, that recommended retail price is it's whatever you feel like it is today. So that's why they're all $54.99 online and $49.99 on Amazon Prime.
Well, this is the thing that whenever they say, you know, recommended retail price, there are multiple retailers. There are many different places, brick and mortar stores, where you can go, and therefore they price things at a reasonable rate because they don't want someone, you know, they don't want to do themselves out of business. Mm. It's kind of how capitalism works.
Yeah.
And yet, whenever they're saying that they want to keep in with that system, and yet their store is the only place where you can buy it digitally, and so therefore they jack up the price, which is not how things are supposed to work. It's kind of the opposite of what they're saying they're doing.
That's because game companies are cheeky bastards, really.
Absolutely.
And we'd all do well to never forget that. Oh, I found one. NHL 18 for the PS4 is £54. So that's close. The thing with the sports games is you've got 8 months to make your money, and then you're done. They're not like GTA 5 that you can sell for 4 years or whatever. You've got until people start thinking about NHL 19.
And because they are so similar year on year, there's no vintage. I mean, you know, there's no vintage Pro Evolution Soccer. There's no vintage FIFA, the one that, oh, everyone remembers. Oh, I remember FIFA. Wait, those were the days. No, it's the same game.
Absolutely. What was the difference between FIFA 2011 and FIFA 2012? And FIFA 2010, for that matter?
8-digit.
Who knows? Who knows? I guess they know who's on what team, and so they correct that stuff, but...
Yeah.
I wouldn't know. I wouldn't know. You could give me one with, like, 80s football teams. I wouldn't know.
Do you know what? I reckon they're missing a trick with that, because there's got to be a market for retro FIFA. You know, FIFA 90, you can play all those old players for all the old nerds who love all those old teams.
Oh, well, yeah, there's all the... But then there's just lots of retro gaming stuff. I want a football game for people who don't care about football. And FIFA isn't it.
No.
Sadly, I want something like Mario Football or something like that.
But there was Mario Soccer.
There was for the GameCube.
GameCube?
There was, yes.
I never played it.
Neither have I, but I think it sits on the list at around this 50 quid mark.
Oof.
Yeah. I think it. Now I need to look that up because I'll get email. but yeah, I think it is Mario Superstar Soccer on the GameCube. Where's my list? Here's my list. Come on, GameCube. No, it's not on the list. Oh, wait, no, it's Mario Superstar Baseball that's £55.
Right, yeah.
That's it. Soccer's a little bit cheaper, but really with GameCube games, for the ones that you've heard of, you're looking at around 20 quid. They're still quite up
there. Too expensive.
Oh, yeah, it hurts. And I've bought a lot of shit as well just to have some GameCube games. You know, but it's, yeah, they're very expensive. The worst one, of course, being Fire Emblem. £115 there, so. Which is a shame, because I would love to play it. Hopefully it'll come out on the Virtual Console if they ever do that for the Switch. I'm sick of promises. And while I'll be angry at Nintendo Creators Program will no longer let YouTubers live stream.
Oh, God.
Nintendo, what is your problem? I don't understand what their problem is. I really don't. Just at a fundamental level. Like, here is some people enjoying your game and showing other people how much they're enjoying your game. No, switch it off.
I have no explanation for this, no reason for this. Other than someone's decided to be a bit more of a prick today. You know, that's it.
It certainly seems that way. Basically, Nintendo have decided that live streams are different. And to be fair, they are. Live streams are different from uploaded videos, you know, sort of edited videos of games. Mm-hmm. So they've decided that anyone who's part of the Nintendo Creators Club is not allowed to make money from live streams.
Do you know why this is?
Actually, I do know why this is.
I have, it's just occurred
to me. It's especially petty, in my opinion. My theory is the way they do this, but I'd like to hear yours.
My theory as to why they've done this is because it specifically targets live streams that they can't have any kind of control over. And when people say dickheads like PewDiePie are going to ruin it for everyone, this is it.
Potentially. I hadn't considered that. I hadn't considered the effects of that.
This is it actually happening. This is them saying, you won't live stream our games in case you say the N-word.
I thought it was, it very well could be that, and I think you're probably right. The thought I had was there's a difference between live streams and uploaded, sort of standard uploaded videos in terms of how they make their money.
That is also true. That is also
standard
true.
Video gets uploaded, and then, you know, a few thousand people watch it. The ad revenue is generated off them watching the video. That money goes to Nintendo, who then decide to give a little bit of it back to the
people who actually did the work. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm. Whereas with live streams, the majority of the money is made through donations submitted during the live stream, which circumvent Nintendo. They go directly to the person playing the game.
Yeah.
This is true on both Twitch, which has a donation system, and YouTube, which has Super Chat, where you can you donate money and a message. Your message is sort of highlighted. It's usually paid more attention to. You might get a shout out by the streamer.
Yeah.
So it seems to me that this, therefore, whenever a stream is uploaded as a standalone video, it doesn't get an awful lot of views. Not an awful lot of people are going to sit there and watch a 4-hour, you know, stream of someone playing a game. So it seems like Nintendo are trying to cut out, in a very petty way, people making too much money off of their stuff.
Well, that is the problem, I think, with all of the Creators Club stuff, is that it's all very petty. They're fucking Nintendo. How much money are they making from this? And, how, you know, is that worth this conversation taking place for them? Because we are far from the only people talking about it, and we are certainly far from the people complaining the most about it.
Absolutely. So, I don't stream.
Well, I mean, it seems to be a spectacular way to piss off people who are going to be talking about your company in a public forum. It just sort of reminds me of, how do we know about all the, you know, how do you know about Minecraft? How do you know about Dark Souls? How do you know about, you know, a gazillion and one FIFA YouTube videos, Madden videos? I just think it's largely a positive thing. So when people, when a company like Nintendo, it's basically the only one as well out of all the big they're the only ones doing this and saying to people who, you know, 99.9% of them are out there to just play their game and have fun with their game. They're not, you know, out there raking it on Twitch, raking over the coals saying, this is shit, that shit, don't buy this game. So it just seems incredible, like you say, incredibly petty that the one thing they would do is to put themselves out there as kind of this big boogeyman monster company who wants you to have no fun.
Do you know what as well? What's weird about it is that if you're pre-recording stuff, in editing, I can make you a video about how Super Mario Brothers 3 is the shittest game ever made.
Oh, yeah.
But in a live stream,
what happens, happens.
What happens, happens. There's no making shit up. There's no painting stuff in a different light. Everybody gets to watch it. So, in actual fact, if they were worried about people being dishonest about their games, that's far more likely to happen in a recorded, edited video than live.
It just occurred to me as well, one of the things that what strikes me as particularly annoying about this, it's similar to piracy. The anti-piracy group's arguments against piracy. Nintendo, in the beginning, were against streamers because they said that people were, well, not just streamers, but just people uploading their videos in general, because they said, well, people are going to watch playthroughs of our games, and therefore they'll watch the playthrough and they'll not want to play the game. So therefore we're losing out on a sale,
which is stupid.
Yeah.
The same nonsense as everyone who downloads an album was a potential, you know, was going to buy it.
It's even worse, really, because listening to an album, that's it. You've used it in the way it was meant to be used, whether you did that on YouTube or officially through some way, it makes no difference. You've heard that album. Whereas a game, you're meant to play it. Mm-hmm. And watching somebody else play it is not playing it. Certainly not in the same way that watching a movie is watching a movie.
It's interactive, yeah.
Yeah, so you're not even getting that. You're missing the main core experience. The point of a game is not just to see the end of it, to witness the end of it. I mean, for God's sake, yeah, that they're called films.
This is, I really don't. There is one YouTuber I watch who is essentially a live streamer, you know, and that's many a true nerd. And I fucking hate live streams because I just don't want to watch someone else play a game. The reason I watch him is because his videos are all edited down and he brings a lot to the table in terms of sort of his character and storytelling.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, I've never not played a game that I wanted to play because I saw him play it.
Yeah, because I watch him too, and sometimes he'll highlight something I've never heard of, and then having watched his video of it, I'll go, oh, I'll give that a try because it looks fun. And I think that's a massive point that Nintendo are missing out on as well here, that all people, especially with people trying to now stream stuff off a SNES Mini, someone playing with a SNES Mini and someone's on the fence about it, like, I'm not sure if this is, you know, something that I want. And then you tune into your favorite live streamer and they're having a cracking time playing on a SNES Mini. it's only going to make you want to buy one, not buy one, because you're sitting there going, well, I've seen it now. It's all the SNES Mini has to offer me. It's just stupid. I mean, and I'm as well, I'm someone who will, if there's a game I'm kind of on the fence about, I will go and watch someone's YouTube video of it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just to check out how the mechanics works, how the game works, and how, you know, if it looks like there's a lot, you know, there's content and I think it's worth X amount of money. I'm 99% more likely to go and buy your game at the end of the day if I can find a video of someone playing it already.
Yeah,
makes sense.
So this, basically, Nintendo just doesn't seem to care. I mean, this is a notoriously, you know, shitty program, and they've just made it worse. So there's no indication that this is going to get better in the future.
No, there isn't.
The problem is that it's their bad boyfriend thing, isn't it? It's just, they have no, there's no...
Well, they're not even pretending that they're going to do anything better. No, they're pretending.
There's no compelling reason for them to do so, because they make a gazillion quid every year selling people the same stuff they bought 20 years ago and the Switch, which has blown up huge. So why should they be the good guys in this respect? It doesn't benefit them.
Stupid Nintendo.
You love them.
I know, and I hate that. It's like, do you know what else?
It's a complex relationship.
It really is a complex relationship. It's complicated, but I love them and what they do. And yeah, at the same time, it is abusive. There's just no other way about it. They don't mean it, though. They're going to change. They said they're working on it.
I wonder who within the company is in charge of decisions like these, because Nintendo are very, you know, the Nintendo Directs. They're very about putting a human face on the company in the form of Miyamoto or Iwata or the guy who's in charge at the moment, you know. But they never put, you know, they never wheel them out to do a little Nintendo Erect Nintendo Erect. Sorry. That was a Freudian penis. About nipples. What? No. What are we talking about?
I've forgotten now. Nintendo.
Yeah, they never wheel out the person with a face to shit on everyone's dreams.
Yeah,
there's some mean old guy in a corner office who just does this all day long. Go, no.
If you're going to be all, you know, happy, smiley, cutesy, you know, putting a friendly face on everything, you should have to do it when you do shit like this. They should have to, you know, dig up Iwata's corpse and wheel him out and have, you know, just have a little puppeteer thing.
Just
no more streaming in Japanese, of course.
We're sticking with Nintendo. As the Nintendo Mini SNES has come out this week. I still kind of want one because they're adorable. But people have taken it apart and are shocked that it's the same on the inside as the NES Mini was.
Literally.
Really? Are you shocked? Anyone?
No.
I hadn't thought about it. I hadn't put any thought into it, so when it showed up, I was like, mildly interesting. But the thought that occurred to me was, I haven't been able to find anywhere that has been able to or has even speculated as to whether, if they do the N64 Mini Classic, will this board be capable of also running that?
My money is
yes. Or
will
they finally have to upgrade it? Well, because that's interesting, because it means they're using a much more powerful, you know, piece of hardware than they need to.
Here's my thinking on it. I bet it's actually difficult to buy a processor chip that is massively manufactured enough that isn't capable of running at least an SNES emulator and probably an N64 one. A Raspberry Pi Zero can run N64 games.
You are correct.
And so I think it might well just be, honestly, unless you're like making them yourself, which I think is probably more work than just going to a processor manufacturer and buying 5 million of something. I honestly bet the lowest power thing you can get can do all this stuff easily.
You are probably correct, sir.
So, yeah.
But also, the thing that I was interested in seeing the inside of the, you know, what's in there, because it is mostly empty space. The thing that got into my head was, you could fit a Raspberry Pi in there.
Yeah, you could.
Without having to take out the SNES mini board. You could maybe run both of them.
That would be interesting.
Mm. Two different HDMI outs on the back, you know.
Could be interesting. It might also be the most expensive Raspberry Pi box you can possibly find.
Yeah.
Because I saw that they're going on eBay for like $120 each now.
Yeah.
150 quid in CEX. There was one in the window yesterday.
Who's done that? Why is
they're
that?
Still selling it. They're still selling the Switches for about 300 and something.
Oh, yeah, they're still doing that.
Yeah,
but what I'm saying is, yeah, you know, this thing came out this week, didn't it?
Yeah. Someone bought one, went straight to my local CEX and sold it straight to them.
And so,
I would very much like it if the US model, you know, the horrible blocky plastic, purple one, I would very much like it if that was selling for less.
Well, yeah.
You know, that would be fun for me.
But, yeah, I can't imagine anyone making a profit out of going to see it, because you don't. You just
no, you don't.
That's it. God, I'd only get 240 quid for my Switch right now. Hmm. That's insane.
Yeah, that's stupid. Yeah. I mean, no, the person who did this probably at best made a tenner. And, you know, but it's just the brass neck of the shop selling the thing when they sell actual big old SNESes for 45 quid in the same shop.
Do you know what?
Those aren't many.
I've decided I'm going to get one. An actual SNES.
An actual SNES.
An actual SNES. Not a toy one. An actual SNES. God, they're actually more expensive on the website.
Okay.
£62 for a discounted one, which means a yellow one, which means get some peroxide and do that shit with it. But yeah, I kind of want one now. I never had one, so I'd like one.
Me neither. We were a Sega household, damn it.
Yep. So straight Mega Drive household we were as well, so.
Mm-hmm. Although, hang on, Super NES software, what kind of thing are we looking at? Okay.
How much are the games?
Well, let's see. If you were to get a SNES, you'd want, say, Super Mario Kart, wouldn't you?
I would.
28 quid.
Mm. Oh. The thing is, though, I mean, is it worth... Because of the SNES Mini, is it a thing that you could wait till after Christmas, for example, and are old SNES things being artificially inflated by people going, fuck that old Mini noise, I'll get an old one because it'd be cheaper. So is there some artificial inflation going on here?
I've noticed CX put a few quid on everything across the board in the last week or so, which is kind of like, well, it's Christmas now, isn't it? We're into Christmas present shopping season, so... Yeah, stick another few quid on everything. I don't think now's a good time to just be continuing to collect retro games at all.
Well, not for certain systems. I mean, I expect the PS2 market is still pretty deflated, but I just think that the old SNES market, I think, is probably be artificially inflated by people going, fuck all that Mini noise, I'll just get an old one. So
entirely possible.
I think if you can all keep your powder dry till January, you might be all right.
You can get Kevin Keegan Player Manager for £2.50.
Oh, well, fuck everything I just said. Buy one immediately.
And Chess Master. And, oh, God, this is all awful. Yeah, you've got to scroll quite some time before you get to a game you actually want to play. Populous Unboxed, £4. I'll probably not bother with this in the end.
Oh, yeah, sort of in related news. Do you remember a few weeks ago we were talking about the limited edition Street Fighter 2 re-release on a red cartridge?
Yeah.
A week later, it turned out that there was a warning given with every copy of the game that it may, you know, small chance that this could cause your NES to explode, or at the very least catch fire.
I feel like we covered that.
Did we?
I think we did, because it was just like their argument was, well, they're all old and dusty, and the dust might burn if you use it. It was a bit of a shitty warning, really.
It was a bit of a shitty warning, yes, but yeah, it just came to mind there. So,
But there's another retro games thing here. Was it a fully licensed Commodore 64 Mini?
They're just cute little things, aren't they?
Oh,
make everything mini. Everything must be mini.
Right, everybody, listen to me now. Just go and buy a fucking Raspberry Pi, for the love of Christ. You don't need buy all these different mini things.
You remember a few years ago, like when it was a thing of like, here's mobile phones, right? Now they get smaller until they're stupid and too small. And now they're getting bigger until you get like the iPhone 8, which is basically like just holding an iPad up to your face.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to have SNES Maxi in a few years? It'd be a giant one.
Super absorbent.
Yep.
You know, it's a joke, but look at that Sonic the Hedgehog Mega Drive thing that came out.
Slightly bigger.
This is the way forward then. Giant consoles.
Yes.
That is the way forward. But seriously, everybody, go and get a Raspberry Pi, please. Just for the. If you want to play Commodore 64 games without an actual Commodore 64.
Name me a Commodore 64 game right now. Go.
Just about to say. I can't.
I could sit and name lots, but none that were specific to the... There were no such things as really as system exclusives in the days of the Commodore 64. So anything that was big and well-known on the Commodore 64, you got on the Spectrum and you got on the Amstrad. And I maintain to this day that the Amstrad version of any game was the best one. So I have seen a Commodore 64 running... once in my lifetime, so I
don't think I've even seen. I've never even seen one running. So we were bitching about.
I've never even seen one standing still. Yeah.
Last week we were all bitching about who the hell wants an Atari anything. I'm really who the fuck wants a Commodore anything? Do you know what I want a mini version of right now? Then I want a mini BBC Micro. Because that is that is what I'm nostalgic about. Take me straight back to school, and like you'd have like your allotted 20 minutes on the BBC Micro.
We are shitting on this thing fairly heavily, but let's keep in mind the Commodore 64. It was essentially a keyboard.
Well, it's a keyboard.
And this is a tiny one. No, it's a tiny little keyboard, but you can still program games on this thing.
What?
I shit thee now.
Hang on.
This tiny little mini Commodore 64 has a working keyboard. Is it a working keyboard or do you have to plug in? No, you have to plug in a keyboard, but it does have the full OS in there so you can program games for it.
Oh, hang on. We've got the full list of games.
Right. Okay.
Let's see what I remember. Oh, it is, but I'm just trying to think of anything. Just see if California Games, because that was out on everything. Everyone's a Wally. I was actually going to say Everyone's a Wally when you said name me a Commodore 64 game, but that's on there. It was not a good game though at all. Monty Mole, Monty on the Run. I think we had that and I never played it. Runorama. See, yes, I do remember a lot of these, especially. Do you know what sticks in my mind is a lot of the sort of the full page artwork adverts for these games that you'd see in magazines at the time. And so I actually remember artwork more than I remember a lot of games. School Day Speedball 2 for the Commodore 64. I had that on the Amiga. Can't imagine it being too good on the good old Commodore 64 there. Summer Games 2, not an Olympics game. No. Thing on a Spring, Thing Bounces Back. Oh, I do remember some of these titles. Who Dares Wins 2, that was shit, I remember that.
Is it only sequels? Because you're saying two.
There seems to be an awful lot of twos.
I am saying two a lot, actually. Yes, you're absolutely right. Well, there is Speedball and Speedball 2.
Oh, thank God for that.
Speedball, I have vague memories of Speedball.
It was great on the Amiga. I don't know why it's on here. I was never aware that there was a Speedball for Commodore 64. And Winter Games is on there, which is not an Olympics winter game. It's called Winter Games. And that's it. Oh, can I click on these? Hang on. I can. Well, I can click on anything. It's whether it does anything, isn't it? And it doesn't. Yeah. Okay, that's great. Oh, no, some of the games you can click on and it tells you more. That's rubbish. Oh, well. It is what it is. It's get a Raspberry Pi, everybody. Fuck's sake. How many more times? How many more times? No, I thought I saw some more games there. Never mind, I didn't. But actually, do you know what? Speaking of Raspberry Pi, for what is becoming almost a weekly Raspberry Pi section, type in this URL. 8bcraft.com.
Oh. It's now, a little handheld Raspberry Pi.
It's a little mod. Yeah, right. Now this caught my eye. It's called the Raspy Boy. And it is basically like a Game Boy-esque kind. If you imagine a sort of, to describe it for you all, if you imagine a SNES controller, but it, the top of it got squared off and there was a screen on there. And you basically buy this thing as a kit, and you get...
Which helpfully sort of allows them to sidestep a lot of legal issues.
It really does. But it looks fantastic. And it just turns a Raspberry Pi Zero into like this little portable machine. I kind of want one. I think I might get one. To be honest, it uses the Raspberry Pi Zero, which you have to buy separately because they can't get them in enough quantities to sell them, apparently.
Hmm.
But I thought this was worth a look.
It looks pretty cool. Looks like a fun little sort of electronics project.
And yeah, it does say that even though it comes as a kit, you don't need anything more than a screwdriver. There's no soldering or anything like that. It's pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
You can plug, because it's a Raspberry Pi, you can obviously plug extra controllers into it if you want. So you can do multiplayer like that. And it has HDMI out, so you can just play on your TV as well.
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah.
It does look pretty cool.
Yeah, so
it's just sort of all little modules which you click together and then install it in a case.
Yeah, it looks fantastic. And it costs €68 plus five for the Raspberry Pi Zero.
You see, I'm looking here at the case. You have two color choices, gray or black. If they had a translucent purple, they would have sold me.
Do you know, that's not a bad idea, but I think you can't 3D print translucent purple.
You could print a normal one and then mold it.
Oh, this looks 3D printed to me.
I don't know. It has a nice finish on it. 3D printing doesn't tend to have that smooth finish.
Right, okay. Well, yeah. If they're molding these, then I expect a translucent purple one at some point. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Absolutely.
But whatever. And you can get different battery sizes and different memory card sizes and stuff like that. It looks really good. I just came across that on YouTube the other day and kind of wanted one immediately.
I wonder what battery life you would get off of this with, you know, a pair of double A's compared to what the original Game Boy and Game Boy Color got on the original hardware.
I don't know.
I don't know myself.
It said that you got two choices of battery pack. Hang on, let's see. There's a 3,000 milliamp hour and a 6,000. And it says... Oh, no, it wasn't there. I did at one point see it say how much battery life you could expect to get from each of those. I think it was like 4 to 6 for the smaller one, and then...
Double that more than like that.
Maybe. I don't know that it works as exactly doubling it. Or,
yeah, it's not a linear curve, yeah.
Yeah, but... So, I don't know, but it was pretty good. It was at least as good as, like, the Switch or something like that, which... Well, it has a passable battery because you can recharge it. It's not really any more. You don't really get more play off a Switch on a charge than you got off a Game Gear.
I'm just looking here, and one of the things I love about it is the case has a little indent where the Nintendo logo is clearly supposed to go.
Yes.
But yeah. There is no logo. It's just this space left blank.
I think it comes with stickers.
It probably does.
I think it comes with stickers. The video I saw on YouTube also showed that it comes with all the alternative colors for the buttons, so you can make it like the American. Purple. The purple.
Why? Why would you? Oh, that's a lovely color scheme. Purple and lavender. Fucking great.
Yeah, what were you doing, Nintendo America? Oh, we hate you so much, Nintendo, but we don't. Let's talk about Far Cry 5.
Hello.
Is
it
yours?
Yeah, so, well, basically, Ubisoft has said that originally they'd had intended to make the music for the cult, which is operating in the game, so annoying that you would be compelled to go and mow down the cult members, but then accidentally made something lovely.
Oh, right. So it actually turns out that the music is so nice, instead of annoying you, people are really enjoying it.
Yes.
Dough. I'm quite looking forward to Far Cry 5, actually. So am I, actually.
I'm looking forward to it as well.
Same here. Just this week, I went and watched, for the first time, the original Kingsman. So I am in a... I'm in a real mood to go and shoot up a church.
Cool.
And I get to make that joke because I'm not American.
Yes, that's true. You're not likely to actually go and do it.
Yeah, no. I have an inability to do it because I don't have a gun.
It's amazing. You're still alive at all. One. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, no, Far Cry 5, this will find its way into my PlayStation, I think.
Yeah.
Do you know what?
Far Cry, yeah.
I was about to start a different topic. Sorry. Carry on if you had something about Far Cry to say.
I was just going to say, Far Cry, the thing about it is it's sort of comforting at this point. It's, you know, Far Cry is like a box of chocolates in that once you played one, you know exactly what you're going to get in the next one, which is what boxes of chocolate are like.
Mm. Well, from box to box, but not necessarily from chocolate to chocolate, which I think I'm defending Forrest Gump here, actually. That's all.
Have you read the book?
I haven't read the book, no.
So much better. So much better.
I loved the film.
I love the film, too. I love the film. But the book's far, far better. He goes to space with a monkey.
No way.
He goes to space with a monkey.
That just makes even going to space a billion times better, doesn't it? Like, oh, yeah. And you're going with a monkey. Fuck yeah.
Goes to space with a monkey. Yep. Fucking brilliant.
Then the thing to do then is make a fan edit of Forrest Gump and then stitch Apollo 13 into it as well. And then just put the end of Forrest Gump at the end of
something with a monkey. No, you'd have to use Project X with Matthew Broderick, because then you could get footage of monkeys flying things.
I do not know this film.
You don't know, but it's called Project X.
I stopped paying attention to Matthew Broderick. Well before Godzilla.
No, this is well before Godzilla. It's called Project X, Matthew Broderick. Go and watch it. It's brilliant. Oh, and it has Helen Hunt before she became really famous. Now I have to look at when it was made.
I have to look up Helen Hunt.
Not the 2012, 1987. Right, because there's a 2012 one that's about kids having a party.
Helen Hunt.
Yeah, there she is. But yeah, go and watch it. It's brilliant. It's got monkeys all the way through it. Yeah. Because what happens is, you should, it's great. Because Helen Hunt's teaching monkeys how to do sign language, right? And then her program gets shut down and all the monkeys get sold to the military where Matthew Broderick is. And they start doing nasty tests on them and he doesn't like it. So he helps the monkeys escape eventually with the help of Helen Hunt, because he realizes that they can do sign language and stuff like that. It's really nice because he learns to talk to the monkeys with sign language. It's great.
Oh, I'm not down for this. I'm not into primates. Don't trust a monkey. Look, we can't. How can you try? Like, oh, look, lovely cuddles. And then it rips. You can literally rip your lower jaw off your face.
And before you know it, they're talking. They've got rudimentary tool usage and they're taking over.
I value them because of their honesty. Because a human could do all those things, and they may want to, but they won't.
A human couldn't literally rip your arm out of your socket.
You could if you put your mind to it.
Okay. Last news story. Valve pulls nearly 200 spam games from Steam.
Yes, be gone, spammers. I thought this was quite interesting that Steam got sufficiently pissed off with somebody to delete 200 of their... This basically from one company, as I understand it from the article.
Yep.
It's quite interesting it got sufficiently pissed off with one lot of people to effectively ban them from the platform.
So, yeah, they posted all these games, 173 games, in the period of a couple of months. And they're all, but I mean, they sort of just all basically clones of each other in different ways. There's They're not 173 truly unique and special games.
No, they are mostly asset flips, which is when someone buys a bunch of assets from somewhere like the Unity store, which Unity is, you know, a sort of open game engine where people can buy, you know, it's been the source of a lot of great games, but usually what happens is people make their game in Unity. They see that they've got something worthwhile, and then they go and they develop their own assets, or they take it to a game company and say, look at this as sort of a demo. What asset flippers do is they just take asset sets from Unity and do very, very little work and sell them on sort of in bulk to try and make a quick profit. So yeah, the 173 of these games, very many of them, I would say there's about as much, maybe less effort that, that goes into them as goes into those 200 games on one cart things that you used to get that were just, you know, the same seven or eight games over and over and over again with a slightly different title screen.
How do you get a game on Steam? Is it just a case of like, I'd like to put a game on Steam, okay, upload it?
Well, I think they've changed it recently. The open, what do you call it? Not early access, but I think basically you have to pay 100 quid to get it into the Steam early access program, which is a recent thing. It used to be you didn't have to pay anything.
Right.
So yeah, you could put in whatever you wanted. But I think they found a way around this. I was hearing that they found a way to get games through in sort of bulk. So they'd only have to pay the $100 fee once for a bunch of different games.
Mm.
I say different games. But yeah, it was tracked back that hundreds of these games, and another way they got around it was by having multiple sort of puppet companies, you know, signing up as multiple different accounts, which were all actually owned by the same parent company. Which was one of the funniest things about it was today, one of the developers who was within this group that got banned. It's a great quote. They've put out, "We have sometimes been conducting our business with practices people may call shitty." That is a Nuremberg style quote.
That is what I listened to a NFL podcast, and there's a guy on there called Dan who is fond of the phrase "La Reveille Magnifico." So you've someone shown their true colours there.
Yes, it's sort of the school of have I been, sometimes not been entirely honest? Maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, they were complaining. This particular company, developer. Yeah, Silicon Echo. They were complaining that they didn't get a warning before their games were taken off Steam, whereas Zonatron Productions got a warning. What they failed to mention, and what we all know at this point, is that Silicon Echo and Zonatron are the same fucking company.
Of course, because so they've set up lots of... Right, yeah, okay.
Yes, so I think Steam... This is why one of the reasons Steam took them off. So Steam obviously just sent out one to, like, one of the companies. And, yeah, they've all been taken down because they're one and the same. So it has been quite funny. But I did discover through this, there's a few YouTubers and a few Steam groups who are sort of devoted to weeding out people like this who are trying to find ways to, you know, make a quick buck off of Steam with very low effort, shitty games. And while they do good work, some of them are way, way up their own arse.
Okay.
Yeah. I watched a video by a guy, what was his name? Sid Alpha. Because I wanted to find out some of the story behind this. And he did there was a 9-minute video on Silicon Echo or one of these companies. I can't remember which one it was, but it was all about, you know, showing how he loaded up a game and then he showed the original assets that were used to make it from the Unity store. But the video is about 9 minutes and he spends the first 4.5 talking about just how big a responsibility it is to be doing this and how seriously he takes it and how he respects his viewers so much that he is suffering from workman's guilt when he's doing other things, that he's not out there making these videos. And I just thought, if you respect your viewers, don't waste 4.5 minutes of a 9-minute fucking video telling them about how much you fucking respect them.
Works for me.
Get on with the shit.
I don't even like opening credit sequences or shit like that.
Oh, so, God, yeah. You remember the early days of YouTube? You know, Angry Video Game Nerd had like a 3-minute opening fucking credit sequence.
It's all too much. Do you know people, I get, and I this bugs me, and I know there's nothing I can do about it at this point, but sometimes it crops up, like, does Rich put opening music on the beginning of podcasts or not? And there's always a sort of, hey, when he remembers to, whatever. And that's not true at all. I know I can't do anything to prove otherwise to you, but it's really not true. The truth is, I fucking hate them. Why? In what way is your podcast listening experience improved by having 15 seconds of some non-consequential music on at the beginning? It's irrelevant. And so I don't always put it on because I don't want to hear it.
So, I have a user script install, which it has an option on it. There's a name for it because everything on the internet has a name. But yeah, this is a phenomenon. There's a button you can click which auto-skips the first 20 seconds of all videos loaded on YouTube.
That's not a bad idea.
It's not a bad idea, but unfortunately, there's no auto-detect, so...
You have to press the button.
It means if it's on, then it'll automatically skip, so if the channel that you're watching didn't have a 20-second intro,
right,
you've missed 20 seconds of the video. It's kind of annoying, but it's funny that it's such an issue that someone made a button.
Do you know what? Pocket Cast on my phone, my podcast app.
That is my preferred podcast app also.
Has that thing. You can go in and say, on this, you can select on a podcast by podcast basis, start from so much time in. So, yeah, every Twitch show, I start from 4 minutes in.
Nice.
Just very automatically.
Nice. I didn't know it had that feature. I will be looking into that.
Yeah. And it's great because it's things like, and I'm not criticizing the shows for this. And in particular, yeah, I'm Matt Break Weekly, a show I love. I've got episode 578 on there, and I know I've heard all 578 episodes on. And so the fact is, at this stage, I don't need to be told that this show is from the Twit Network, that it's Matt Break Weekly. I don't need the same four panelists introduced to me again because I get it, but I understand why that's there. Like I say, I'm not criticizing them for doing that, but I don't need it as a long time listener. So having that option of just start these from 4 minutes in is
also, I think there's a difference between like a weekly show versus like YouTube, where, you know, there are often daily videos, occasionally multiple daily videos. So
you can do without it. And yeah, so that's the story of why not all simply syndicated shows always have music.
Yeah. Many a true nerd doesn't do it.
Yeah, he doesn't do that.
He doesn't do it. I know it sounds like I'm trying to jack the guy off, but I would.
It's like, and also, you know, you've clicked on the thing and downloaded it and selected it.
Don't try and breeze past this.
Breeze past what? Sorry.
I would jack him off.
Sorry, I missed.
He's married,
that.
Mike. You just have to let it go.
He's not married. She just lives
married.
In a house.
They're married.
No, they're not.
They are.
They're not married.
They are too.
And, you know, marriage, what is it? It's a certificate and a ring. I could get past that.
And a buffet. We had a buffet.
Oh, buffet? Oh. Yeah. Well, I don't know if I'm good enough to get past the buffet. I would become distracted by the buffet.
I couldn't fucking love a buffet.
We were mostly in it for the buffet.
Yeah.
But you've got to do the buffet. I don't know if I could ever be asked for that. Although I'm starting to feel really conspicuous at this point.
I think you're so far in that you don't need to worry.
Well, no, that it makes it worse. And then it's I don't know, it's just really awkward now.
It's going to be especially awkward if she hears this.
I know, she won't. And
she doesn't.
And it's like, and the truth is, it's not that I don't want to ever be married. That's fine. Being married, no problem. Not a single issue there. But having a wedding, that's a different bit. That's that bit I'm not interested in at all. Not at all.
paying five times the cost of things because it's a wedding.
Yeah, paying anything for any reason. Like, if there was just a form we could send off, fine. If that's all it was, it would have been done years ago. But as it is, it's like, no. You'll spend thousands of pounds, and then just have this day that you forget about because it was, yeah, whatever.
Can I just interject here as the sole married in this podcast?
Yes, please validate your terrible decisions.
Yes, please validate my terrible decision. I have not yet forgotten about it, to be fair.
Fair enough.
It's still kind of a big deal. It was a good buffet. There was pizza.
That is a good buffet when there's pizza. I'm happy there. It's just when there's all those like potted beef sandwiches in, and there's always just this piece of mangy tomato.
It was good stuff. Chicken wings, pizza. It was wedges. Yeah, nice wedges as well.
That's my diet mostly. All of that you described there. So yeah, that's good. I'd have been happy.
I've been eating a lot of Chinese food lately, but yeah, I think weddings are the only places I've had prawns. Or were they shrimp? Who knows?
Same thing, isn't it? I just assume
they are different things.
Boys, that is such a move. Do not eat seafood off a buffet.
Yeah,
don't. I know.
Seafood off a buffet.
I don't. Do you know what? Apart from fish from the chippy, I just don't eat. Because it's that rule of if I can't stand the animal when it's alive, I don't want to eat a dead one. And that applies to basically everything that lives in the ocean.
I take the Ron Swanson approach. Fish for hunting, never for eating. Fish is basically a vegetable.
Yeah, there you go. Ron Swanson, Lessons for Life. It's well worth looking into.
Yeah.
Well, where do you draw the line on duck? Because the Catholic Church regards them for Fridays. They are regarded as a fish, as is beaver.
No, yes. Duck is good. The Catholics can bollocks.
Oh, I this was the best thing I genuinely encountered. A girl who I quite fancied years ago because I went to Catholic school. Because when you live in Northern Ireland, they're all either Catholic schools or, you know, Protestant schools. But yeah, I did encounter a girl who I considered reasonably intelligent. who actually finished quite high in the class. You know, she was like a prefect and stuff. Mm-hmm. Genuinely believed that during fasting days, you know, Lent and stuff, chicken wasn't meat.
None of this,
it's a fish. No, she just said chicken isn't meat.
That's one of those things people say, and then you just like, what?
Yeah. She thought like cow and pig, that's meat. But chicken... that's white. It's not meat.
It's that. Look, this is that joke from the royal family of, oh, she can't have that. She's a vegetarian, Nana. Oh, can she have wafer thin ham then? No, Nana. No. That's still meat.
Is that a show that's aged well?
I find it difficult because it's, do you know what? It was one of those that it's very emotionally straining as something that's supposed to just be a comedy. And really? As good as it is, I'd always found it difficult to watch. And then we reached a point where it just became garbage.
Right, okay. I never watched any of it.
The TV series are pretty good. But the Christmas, the you know, they've done Christmas special after Christmas special. They're mostly garbage. And I mean, like, offensively bad. Like, you are, like, award-winning writers, whatever, and you've done this. I feel like you just come and shat on the carpet. Like... horrible stuff. But
the only thing I knew about the royal family was that one of them went on to be the guy in a pint of lager and two packets.
Yeah, Ralph Little.
Is that his name? Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And you've got Carolina Hearn, who's...
And that was garbage, but that was enjoyable garbage.
I think what makes me sad about the royal family is because Carolina Hearn is such an unhappy person in real life. Like, she's got terrible depression problems and things like that, poor lady. So I just kind of feel like it's one of those comic things of, like, they make incredible comedy, but they've got terrible personal lives.
Yeah.
And I just think when you watch her and you just think, oh, you're so sad, I just kind of want to hug you and you don't have to be there. Do you know what I mean?
Shit, did Carolina Hearn die? She died.
She died.
She did.
Huh. I forgot all about that. Was that last year?
Yeah, it looks like. because I had to enter her name because I couldn't remember who the fuck she was.
She died. Because she was excruciating.
It says here on the sort of the Google summation, died 2nd of July 2016, Temperley. Now, is that a disease or a place?
It's a village in England.
She died of being there.
Well, outside Greater Manchester. There you go. Temperley. So I suppose we're onto the just general what have you been playing sort of thing. I have news on that front, actually.
Think you better go for it.
Proceed.
I can tell you at this point that all the Metroid are dead.
All of them?
All of them.
All of them?
Except the little secret one that you keep at the end. Yeah, there's a little one. But apart from that, all the ones I was definitely meant to kill are definitely dead.
You had a job to do. You were sent down there to commit genocide, and it sounds to me like you half-assed it.
But the thing is, right, is that the little baby Metroid lets you get into places you couldn't get into before so you can get more stuff.
Is it dead, though?
No, I see your point entirely.
Yeah,
I really
see
do.
Why, you know, I mean, I'm not promoting genocide this week, if you have been contracted to perform a genocide,
you should perform.
You should.
It's not everyone but that little one, is it? It's everyone.
You've
gone
to Rwanda on this, haven't you? You let a few get away.
There you go. And so it's didn't, you know, but I enjoyed the process. It was lots of fun.
Well, no, you know,
lots of fun. Yeah, so. I recommend that game to everyone. Really, I enjoyed it a lot, and I think it was the map that made the difference. I really do. Maybe I will try others. In fact, I will, because they're all on emulatable systems, to be honest. So that's fine.
No, I'm curious now. I'm wondering whether Nintendo would be the kind of company to mark the price of that game up or down, since there was going to be more interest in them.
Oh, nothing but up. It's like Uber surge pricing. It's as soon as anyone shows any interest in it, it's jack that ship, that price right up.
Right, okay.
Currently $39.99 on the 3DS, there it is.
Talking about like the ones on virtual consoles.
The old ones.
Oh, right, yeah.
Whether
no,
or not
they
would have jacked the prices up or dropped them.
They keep them at a set price.
Well, I suppose that's one way of...
They basically just... So sort of all your NES games are one price, all your Game Boy games are another price, etc. So that's what they tend to do with that. Where they differ at all is if... The one thing they will differ on is, of course, the Pokemon.
Oh, of course.
Because they've just brought out Silver and Gold, and I think that's on there at $8.99. It's a Game Boy Advance game or Game Boy, something like. And
no, other, it was.
I think it might be.
No,
like,
that was Color, Game Boy Color.
Yeah, I don't.
Or
think,
is this Heart Gold and Soul Silver?
Hang on.
Those were the DS remix.
I'm gonna have to get the old 3DS out here. And go to the store. Luckily, it's right here.
Yeah, it's terrible. I was able to keep track of 151 Pokemon, but I can't keep track of like 20 Pokemon games.
No,
tell me there's more. There can't be more than 20 Pokemon.
Until there's a Pokemon game rap that you can, so you can learn the rap and then know it.
I'm not going to do it. Shit, there's more than 20 Pokemon games. Motherfucker.
Yep, you need us. We need a song so we can remember them all.
There'll definitely be more than 20, like, games with Pokemon associated with them.
You know, that's a song that is just a series of colours.
It really is.
Well, look, do you want to remember them or not? The song's the easiest way.
But you've got, like, all the card games and other stuff like that. There's loads of Pokemon-related games that aren't main story Pokemon games as well. Hang on. Pokemon Gold, $8.99 for the Game Boy Color.
Right, so it is the original, not the remake?
Yeah. Basically, and I think Game Boy Color games are usually $7.99 or even less.
But that actually makes sense to me, obviously, because there wouldn't be such a big fanfare about them releasing Heart Gold and Soul Silver on the virtual console, because those games are DS games, which will just work with your 3DS.
Well, yeah, that's basically it. Come on, it's taking ages to load this page in the store. It's almost as if I'm doing a podcast while I'm trying to open it. Oh, I've got shitty internet up here. Okay, Super Metroid is... Come on, don't keep me waiting. Doesn't matter, I don't care anymore. It kept me waiting, so I think I've lost internet connection on my 3DS.
Oh, right.
I'm way away from the thing, and it doesn't have the 802.11n or AC because it's a 3DS. So it's not going to tell me how much Super Metroid would cost. £7.19 for a SNES game. I want a Game Boy Color. Yeah, like so. Oh, right there then. Game Boy Color games are $4.49 usually.
So yeah, that's what they have marked it up.
Yeah, just because it's Pokemon, and people will buy that. Mind you, Earthbound on SNES, $8.99. The Legend of Zelda's $5.39 on Game Boy Color. So, okay, I sit corrected. They will tweak things. They will tweak prices a little bit, but they're all around the same price. Not too different. Well, Mega Man X, £7.19. I might get that. I've been playing Mega Man X. It's all right. It's not as punishing as the regular Mega Man games. Or at least that's what it feels like anyway.
Perhaps you just got good.
I didn't. Thank you for thank you for the confidence though, but I didn't.
Okay.
So that's that, you know, now I'm free of the Metroid. I got back into Rayman Legends and that's still awesome. But I think I'm on the penultimate world and things are getting stressful because it's hard now. It's really fucking hard now. They're not messing about. So it's a bit difficult. But I'll stick it out. I've enjoyed it a lot.
Cool.
Yeah,
so I'm looking up a list of... I entered genocide in games. And there's a giant bomb list. Genocide concept. Genocide refers to killing on a massive scale, often systematic and for political or religious reasons. And the first game... on the list is Undertale. I feel like that's maybe a spoiler, but I didn't know that was the theme of the game.
What game? Undertale?
Undertale. Yeah.
I've never heard of it.
Oh, really? It was big like last year sometime, or maybe even earlier this year. Time is a weird concept for me right now. It's sort of stretchy.
Well, say, we talked about YouTubers and stuff. It is fairly popular amongst the YouTubers when it first came out because it's got some pretty
big following.
Yeah.
Oh dear God! What's this game? Muslim Massacre from December 2007. That's probably not a very nice game.
You've never heard of Muslim Massacre?
2D shooter.
You massacre Muslims.
Okay.
Hatred, Wolfenstein.
I'm stunned that that's only available on PC. I would have thought Sony and Microsoft would have just been all over that. Like, bring that to the PlayStation, please. That'll make us look so good.
Stick it on the Commodore Mini.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, I do have a list. One of my fun things is if you've ever been on the subreddit, Ask Reddit, it's basically people ask questions and you give answers.
That sounds like a bad idea, but carry on.
It's a very bad idea. It's a very repetitive thing. The same questions get asked all the time. So whenever, I say daily, multiple times a day, the question will come up, what are some of your favorite video games? Or what are some of the games which impacted you the most? I have a list ready to go, which include Muslim Massacre, Super Columbine Massacre, Custer's Revenge, always a good one to go with, Replay, Hatred, BMX XXX, and then at the last minute, I throw in No Man's Sky. And it's always fun to see whether it either gets massively downvoted or massively upvoted.
That's very good. I like that. No Man's Sky.
Yeah.
What have you two been playing then this week?
Loads of Custer's Revenge. No, that's a game that's not getting a remake anytime soon.
I wonder if it's on that Atari box thing, though.
I don't think it's on my Raspberry Pi, but it's going to be.
Yeah, I've forgotten all about this game.
Joy.
For those of you wondering, I'm just going to read the opening paragraph from the gameplay section of the Wikipedia page for Custer's Revenge. In the game, the player controls the character of Custer, depicted as a man wearing nothing but a cavalry hat, boots, and a bandana, sporting a visible erection. Custer has to overcome arrow attacks to reach the other side of the screen. His goal is to rape a naked Native American woman tied to a pole.
And we get an homage in Red Dead Redemption 2.
Did we? No, we won't. No, sorry. Yes. And as for the Atari 2600, a game of rape and nudity.
My God.
They don't do those so much anymore.
Even on Steam.
It's a bit. How is that ever okay?
Modern gaming is a cesspit. Yeah, it kind of always was.
Yeah. I mean, for fuck's sake. I don't know if that's better or worse than the baby shaking game that came out on the iPhone a few years ago.
I wanted that.
They pulled it too. You had to be quick with that. They pulled that immediately. Custer's Revenge, everyone. Get your Atari 2600 ready for that. Dear, oh dear. Sorry, where were we before we got to that?
I'm feeling a bit shell shocked, to be honest.
it stuns me that it was ever a thing, that there were ever sort of.
More than one person had to think it was okay. Do you know what I mean? It's like.
They were called Mystique. Mystique was a company that produced a number of pornographic video games for the Atari 2600, such as Beat'em and Eat'em, Bachelor Party, and Custer's Revenge. It was one of several video games companies that tried to use sex to sell its games. Mystique was an offshoot of Caballero Control Corporation, who produced pornographic films and American multiple industries.
I'm just looking up the gameplay premise for Beat'em and Eat'em. And now that I've read it, I've totally seen footage of this game.
Yeah, so have I. And
players control two nude women on the street who must catch semen in their mouths that comes from a masturbating man on a rooftop without missing. And you know what? People complain that there aren't enough female protagonists in games.
There you go. They do, and they're just not looking in the right places.
1982. You know, you just gotta learn.
Someone tweet Anita Sarkeesi, and she loves shit like this. Don't bring her around here anyway. So that was the thing, and what always astounded me about it,
with a special edition of that game,
it's not even like it's actually pornographic.
It's
just disgusting.
Yeah, the concept is vile and despicable. And in turn, I mean, you're not really.
You wouldn't want to catch it in your mouth, like, once it, you know, from a great height, because it's going to be cold by the time it gets to you.
It's not like it's actually porn. That's the thing. It's not porn. It's drawings of boobs on an Atari 2600.
It's not even actual boobs. It's just squares.
I would venture this, right? If you're the kind of person that finds the core concept of a game like Custer's Revenge amusing, you might have a screw loose or two. Yet, if you're someone who is genuinely aroused by playing Custer's Revenge, then you definitely should seek help. Or at least human contact, sorry, of any kind.
And I was going to say, females don't want nothing to do with this. You can fuck off elsewhere.
Fair enough. I'll say
as the one who speaks with the entire female contingent of planet Earth on this podcast, you can bollocks, mate. Get lost.
Fair enough. There you go. So don't like this game or anything about it, really. Or
see, girls just don't like retro games. That's what it is.
Ah, yes. Now go on and play Custer's Revenge and shut up.
Oh, God.
It was a real thing, everybody. A real thing. Not on Nintendo. What else is there to talk about? Something nice to finish with, please. Anything.
Well, Mike, what have you been up to?
I've been going through my Steam library. I've been trying to break out of the grip of Heat Signature, but I have been unable to. I've been putting just so much time into that game. It's ridiculous. I am genuinely addicted. I've been performing heists all around my own little galaxy. I've been saving people. I have been brutally, brutally murdering people. I've been slowly winning these systems over to my favor and unlocking more and better weapons in order to do more and better things. I think I've nearly finished the game, and I kind of don't want it to be over.
Have that? Yeah, absolutely. It's why I've not played Mario Rabbids for a while. That reason. I didn't want to finish it, really.
But as well as that, I've just been looking through my list of Steam games, because I have a ton of stuff, you know, obviously, that I've never played and that I keep meaning to play, but I just can't get excited for any of it for some reason. I keep coming back to Heat Signature. It's annoying.
It happens, and I actually think it happens more the bigger choice you've got.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I stand in front of this shelf of games every night and just sort of sigh. In the same way that when it was a shelf of DVDs, I used to look at it and just sigh. Like, what? Can play
not
all kinds
tonight,
of things.
X-Files games. Not tonight.
Oh, Emma, I meant to ask, have you played that at all yet? The X-Files game.
No, it's on the to-do list. It's because I'm going to confess, I haven't actually played much last couple of weeks because I'm having physio on my right arm, so I'm up on bricks at the moment, just trying to sort of keep it, make sure I don't do more damage to it at the moment. I have, it's on my to-do list. Once my next physio visit is over, it's going to be in there, and I'll have a go at it.
Okay, it's certainly not worth potentially injuring yourself to play. That just just off the list altogether. I mean, you know, it's not Zelda.
I know, but I'm just such a ridiculous mark for anything X-Files. You know what I mean? It's one of those things that it makes me sad that there's X-Files things I have not interacted with in any way. So
I totally understand. It's how it ended up on my shelf, and I just love weird shit on the PlayStation.
I feel like I've seen the one. I feel like I've experienced peak X-Files. There's an episode where Mulder is being bugged, and a woman comes to his door. It may have been Scully, I'm not sure. And he invites her into his apartment, and the light's off. And she says, "Why is it so dark?" And he replies, "Because the light's off." I feel like that's the best episode of the X-Files.
I love the X-Files. I adore that show.
Yeah, same.
I've got some more, what is it, Remote Patrol Trust No One to post on Simply Everything. Ooh. As well. We did finish the season. I've just not got round to fucking posting anything. So I need to get that done. There's like six of them or something, I think, left. But and then we will bring back season two.
We are rewatching it on Blu-ray, and it looks cool as fuck on Blu-ray, I've got to say.
Very snazzy.
Did they remaster anything, or what's the story with that?
Yeah, they've redone it.
Because the effects were very 90s.
They haven't.
I think they hold up, though, to be honest. Yeah,
I agree with you, Emma. They haven't done full-on Star Trek with it.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, it's pretty good. Do you know what? They're all on Amazon Prime in HD.
Hmm.
If you want to see what they look like.
I may.
Technically, they won't be as good as the Blu-rays, but it's still...
Obviously.
You know, again, the rubbing dirt in your eyes thing, but...
But, yeah.
Yeah.
The last time I tried to watch The X-Files, I downloaded a list of, you know, the episodes you should watch and the ones you shouldn't.
Yeah.
So, I feel like I avoided an awful lot. I think I got up to series 4.
AV Club have a brilliant article that we kept referring to doing Remote Patrol of the 10 X-Files episodes you should watch. And
see, 10 seems too few. I'm willing to give in a little bit more time, but you know.
Oh, here we go. Yeah, 10 must-see episodes. I still have it in my random bookmarks thing. 10 must-see episodes of the X-Files. I'll put that in the Slack room. There it is. God, this is so off topic, but it's a really good list. It is. It's one of those like, no, this is a spot on list. If you're only ever going to watch 10 X-Files, and it will take you as far as season 8.
Oh, it's only up to season 8. Okay.
No, I mean that's...
Okay.
Yeah, I'm just
season 11 is not far away now.
That's true. I saw a photograph of them making it.
Yes.
Which excites me greatly. I did enjoy the last ones they did.
I did as well, actually. I liked most of it.
In fact, I really enjoyed the one with the guy from Flight of the Conchords in it.
Yeah.
Oh, he's always good.
That was such a...
Was he in it?
Yeah. Murray.
Yeah.
That was just such a brilliant episode.
Yeah, the one from Flight of the Conchords who went on to do other stuff.
Well, they all have.
What? Well, yeah. She did, and he did, and the guy... Murray. Oh, yeah, Murray. Oh, it's Murray. Right, okay.
Yeah.
I thought it was Jermaine you were talking about.
No, but he is also... They all did. And then... Who's the other one? He looks like my friend one. Mike. What's his name?
The little one from Flight of the Conchords. He hasn't done anything.
Hang on. I have to defend him because they have. All right, Flight of the Conchords, IMDb. I've just forgotten his name, so I can't. Brett. He won an Oscar for soundtrack writing and stuff. Because I think he did the Muppet movies and stuff like that.
Oh.
Yeah, he did. Muppets Most Wanted, and lots of other stuff. The Muppets film, and that, and he won an Oscar. So that's kind of going on to do something, wouldn't you say?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a bit like won an Oscar. I think he did.
That's all.
Now Leonardo DiCaprio's won one. It's pretty devalued, for my opinion.
And especially for that fucking movie. Do you know what? So not the time or the place, but I fucking hated that movie. It was so boring. The bear attack, brilliant. That was like the 10 best minutes of film I saw last year. That was brilliant. But then there was a whole film either side of that was boring as shit.
It was quite funny. I don't mean to sound weird, but you came up in conversation in the house the other day because we got, if you... got one of those That's Entertainment stores, they have started doing a thing where they have like these sort of long boxes of about 100 and 120 DVDs, CDs mixed, could be anything.
Yeah.
And they basically just wrap it up in gift paper and you can buy one for a tenner. And it's basically just see what you get.
So we saw
Ashens, yeah. The crap stuff reviewer, do a video of his long box. So we have a That's Entertainment, and Chuck said, well, why not for a 10 quid? Let's see what we get. And we went through it the other day, and we got a copy of Into the Wild. And I said, oh, it's Richard Smith's least favourite film of all time.
I fucking hate that film. So much. He wasn't a hero. He was a guy who wandered into the woods and died. That's not a hero. That's a twat. That I'm just saying. If you want to praise heroes, there are firefighters that pull babies out of burning buildings every day. They're heroes.
A lot of people don't even manage to wander into the wilderness before they die. I mean, at least he got somewhere.
Fucking hated that film. It was because it was presented like, oh, he's such a hero. Like, he's not. He's fucking not. At all.
Is there a video game tie-in?
Yeah, you just press forward for 2 hours and then stop.
And then you die.
And you die. That's it. That's the game. Oh, that's amazing.
My second favourite ever episode of Movies You Should See, and sort of tied for second place with the one, Night of the Wolf or Into the... thing, and literally Hour of the Wolf, where literally everyone was, Alison and Mike and that, were talking about it for 45 minutes and then you'd been suspiciously quiet the entire time, and then literally 45 minutes into the episode you just go, so what's this fucking film about then? I was out in the shops and I just pissed myself laughing and people looking at me like I was a nutcase because you just came out with it after literally saying nothing for nearly an hour.
It was amazing, wasn't it? I was so pleased with how quiet I managed to stay for so long. And do you know what? To this day, I couldn't tell you what that film's about. There wasn't a fucking wolf in it. So I don't know. I'm never going to see it again. Life's finite and no more of it must be spent on that film. No more.
Yeah, I kind of feel like X-Files would be a good tie-in with Telltale.
With what, sorry?
Telltale.
Yeah, it would.
The games, yeah.
It would. It really would.
Yeah. Especially since they seem perfectly willing to license anything.
Well, they do, but they're doing all right with it. So I think, yeah, it would be a really good thing.
Oh,
I mean,
man,
what,
that would be such an insta buy for
that,
me.
That PS2 game you've got, it's basically, yes, you know,
Silent Hill.
Well, I was going to say Resident Evil, but same difference, you know, that kind of thing. But X-Files.
Yeah, because there's like a Scully A and a Mulder B story like there are in the Resident Evil games and things like that. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I see where they were going with it. I certainly see how they thought it was maybe an idea that would work, but it did not. So that's pretty much how it ended, badly, really.
If they did a Telltale game, every single decision, you know, when you have the four decisions, one of the buttons would have to be uncomfortable subtext.
Do you know, I've never played a Telltale game.
Really?
Yeah. Know. Never got around to it.
I played The Walking Dead one, season one.
I intend to get to one, and I nearly got Alison the Batman one last Christmas, but it seemed like a bit of a shit Christmas present because it wasn't really all there.
Yeah, I suppose, yes.
Yeah, yeah, it's like, here's some of a game. You'll get the rest later. It was just like, that didn't feel...
Yeah, it might be shit, we don't know.
It didn't feel like...
It's a gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it didn't feel like a great Christmas present, especially when it was compared to, like, say, games where the whole game was there. That they seemed like a better idea. Yeah. So
yeah, it's better generally if you're giving a gift to give a gift.
Yes.
Rather than the promise of a gift.
Exactly. So that's what I did. So I've never played one. But I'd be willing to give The Walking Dead one a go, because I like The Walking Dead. And mind you, I don't mind Batman and other things they've done, so that's all fine.
I did manage to finish the... I had to play The Walking Dead sort of 1.5 times, because I played it on Steam when it came out, and I was playing on my Mac. And then halfway through the episodes, I upgraded to my PC.
Ah.
And I uninstalled everything. I cleaned out my Mac, formatted everything. Can you guess what the one game that the save file was not backed up online was?
Well, I'm guessing it's this one, otherwise it's not really an appropriate story.
Yeah, I was
going to
say it's a weird story. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes... sometimes it's good just to say the thing you're expected to say and not make a big fucking deal about it.
Sorry.
People have feelings, is what I'm saying.
Of course. I'm sorry.
Was it
The Walking Dead game?
It's an emotionally draining game. It really is. The first season really is quite an emotionally draining game. Lots of little decisions to make. And I'd played through basically half of it and then realized that I had to play through it all over again. And because I'm me, I knew that I would have to play it making the same decisions, but no, even though I knew that those weren't necessarily the best decisions, and I put it off for so long because I knew it would just be such a pain in the ass. I kept hoping that they would come out with someone to find a sort of save game generator so that I could, you know, just punch in what my decisions had been up until, you know, episode 3, but no, unfortunately not. But I did manage to make it through, and while I'm sure that seasons 2 and 3, they've been received very well, I really want to play it, but at the same time, I just don't feel stable enough.
Yeah, don't feel actually prepared. I mean, because I played episode 1 on when I did the 24-hour stream back in March, and yeah, even though I've just done episode 1, it's been difficult to be like, I don't really feel like I want to be sad today. Do you know what I mean? I'm not prepared for this. I think I might just, you know, play something where I can be in charge, empower myself, rather than be sad all the time.
I mean, it's not like the comic and the show where I stopped watching / reading because, you know, it got very boring. But yeah, I kind of think I feel like it's well suited to the format, sort of episodic format.
Mm.
You play an hour at a time. But yeah, I played quite a few of the Telltale games. That's the only one that I can say I actually feel is like, you know, really worth it. They've been showing their age. Telltale refused to upgrade their fucking engine, which means that the whole experience, even with the most modern ones like the Batman one, even though graphically they've upgraded, you can tell that, you know, the gears underneath are just sort of clinking against each other. You know, things are not smooth. Transitions do not work the way they should be. So I'm a little irritated with them for that.
Understandably so.
Because it can't be too difficult. It's a simple enough, you know.
I have no idea what, like, just make a game engine.
That do a thing, you know.
Doesn't sound too easy, but I don't know. That's because I don't know what I'm doing, so.
I feel like I kind of wish that another company would come in with sort of a rival engine and, you know, because there's not an awful lot of competition in this market because Telltale seem to have snapped up all the fucking licenses, you know, all the licensing deals.
They're the LJN of fucking adventure games now.
Yeah, they kind of have, and they have all of the classic series. They have, you know, I believe they do Monkey Island. They, you know, all of those. So they've sort of, they're hoarding a little bit.
Ooh, I didn't know they did that.
Yeah. Oh, I think they did like the fourth Tales from Monkey Island or something like that.
Right.
It was after they'd done Sam and Max, which I very much enjoyed.
Right. Yeah. That was a very popular one, wasn't it?
That was very popular. And it's a weird thing with Sam and Max. What was Sam and Max?
No idea.
Nobody fucking knows.
I never played it.
Some people think it was a cartoon based on a comic book. Some people think it was a comic book based on a cartoon. The only thing everyone agrees on is it was a game.
It was definitely a game.
It's definitely a game.
Yeah, yeah. I definitely remember it being a game, but I don't know what it was about. I never played it. Because, again, puzzle games at the time. And I wasn't really very bright. I mean, I'm clever now, obviously. I worked on it over the years. So thank you for listening to our show, everybody.
See how I didn't contradict you?
Yes.
Because I care about your feelings.
Yes. Yeah.
It's too late. Thank you for listening to our show, everybody. It's been a pleasure speaking to you. You might want to go and check out some of those other shows that we've mentioned throughout this one, like Movies You Should See, and can't remember any of the other ones we... Remote Patrol, about the X-Files. That's on Simply Everything. Do you know what we could do with some Simply Everything help? If you're up for it, you know, get on over to simplysyndicated.com/everything. Sign up, support the network. Get our X-Files show that's on there and only on there. There's a Quantum Leap show on there as well, which is...
And you can get them old Movies You Should See episodes.
You can.
Rich hating films.
Listen to me not talk about Hour of the Wolf, which is, honestly, it's amazing. It really is.
It is.
Not the film. You not talking about it is amazing.
Yes, the film's garbage. Yeah, that's why I'm glad my life as a movie critic is somewhat over. Because, let's face it, you can't really sit there saying Ingmar Bergman films are just shit and have any form of credibility, can you? So, you know.
I don't know. Before Netflix did Who's Watching This, Emma or Chuck, and I was the one who was... I'm the owner of the Netflix account in this house. Chuck gave The Seventh Seal 1 star on my bloody account.
Ooh.
Well, again, why would you... Well, never mind. They exist. I can't do anything about it. I talk about games now and technology. It's a lot less frustrating. So that's just the way it goes. And that is the reason for why there are game shows now. Not so many movie shows. That's it.
And you covered all the fucking movies.
Yeah, there is that as well. We literally reviewed every film. So
I mean, fuck help you if you make it through all the games. You're gonna have to go into books next.
Exactly.
And you can't read.
The big writing with sort of smaller words.
All words. Yeah.
But other than that, I'm fine, you know. So that's the thing, everybody. Go and check that out. Also, thank you to everyone who supports us on patreon.com/simplysyndicated. Please go on there and help us out as well. Also, finally, I'm not going to ask you for any more money. I would like your help and support by sharing our posts on Facebook and Twitter and everywhere where we post things. be it a retweet or a repost on SoundCloud if you listen to us on there, all kinds of things. We really want to help spread the word about our shows and grow our audience a bit, and that's the best way to do it, because believe it or not, we don't have loads of money to spend on ads, hence all the asking for you to sign up to things just a minute ago. So don't forget, click that share button, retweet everything. And I will also tell you, we have a new show coming back on Saturday night as well, which is something rather special. It's not quite Shaft, but it's basically Shaft. We'll see if I come up with any good ideas to differentiate it from Shaft by Saturday, because that's really what it's hinging on. This will be Richard and Alison's super happy, fun, late night, daytime breakfast show. I tried to fit more words in, but I couldn't. I was going to say,
Channel 4 called from the 90s. They want their show title back.
Yeah, I tried to fit as many words there as possible. So it's Rich and Alison, super happy, fun, late night, daytime breakfast show, where we'll be live on probably our YouTube channel, the Simply Syndicated one, and you can call us and we'll chat about all kinds of stuff. And it will be at 11 p.m. UK time, that's the late night bit, and it will be at 3 p.m. Pacific time, which is the daytime bit, and it will be 9 a.m. in Sydney, Australia, which is the morning show part of it all. So we're going to try and incorporate all those aspects of it into there, because we're international, you know, we're not on local fucking radio. That's for them to worry about. Like, you know, we're covering the world. So
I was thinking it's a fairly standard late night show, but, you know, a fucking mental morning show.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what we're going for. So we'll be live at those times I just said. Follow me on Twitter for further updates between now and Saturday. And it'd be great to have you all there listening live, because otherwise it's quite soul destroying. Not worried at all. Not worried at all. So, right. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more gaming news. Until then, we'll see you later. Bye-bye.
My psychiatrist says you're emotional vampires.